Good morning, everyone. There you go. We are ready to continue with our discussion of the various dating systems. And I hope you all had a chance to review yesterday. Basically, you will recall that we discussed a number of different systems yesterday. There was the accepted minyan of shtarot, which the sofrim use. The Gemara says that that actually counts from the time at which the Yevanim became powerful as a world empire, which is 380 years before the Churban of the Bayis, even though they took over the actual Malchus of Paras 34 years after the Binyan HaBayis, which really leaves 6 years missing in between, because the whole period was 420 years of the Beit HaMikdash. But we count from the 380-year mark. Now, yesterday, and we mentioned also, I got the other elements about when we count the Gabi Shemitah, we went into the details of whether we count the first year of Bria or not, the Shana Satohu, as 1 year. And then we spoke about the count that was common, which was the count from the Shas HaChurban itself. And we spoke also about the counting from Yemos HaMashiach, so to speak, from the year 4000, which is the equivalent of our counting from Shas HaBriah, with a different number of thousands. Now, the last thing that we learned yesterday was that there was a particular shtar that they thought in the Beis Din was a shtar mu'uchar, because it was dated 6 years in the future, which is rather rare. And what they understood it to mean is that the person, the lender, had been mevater on his chus to take a lien out on the property during those 6 years, since he wouldn't have a shtar on against the property. So anything that had been sold during those 6 years, he didn't mind, and he wasn't going to collect from it. And furthermore, it appears in the Gemara that he was even mevater on his ability to collect the loan at all. Forget about the lien, because it said that they wanted to be ma'akim the shtar. That's a similar, anyway. So the Gemara says that it's much more reasonable to say that actually, it's almost unheard of that a person should write a shtar like that. So actually, it's much more reasonable to say that the sofer over here was very medayik, and he counted the Zman of the Yevanim based on the Braita that gives us 34 years after the assumption after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is 6 years prior to the normal minyan shtaros, so that the sofer, apparently counted from the time of the beginning of Malchus Yavan in Elam, and not when it became a world empire. That was the last thing that we had learned, and we're right in the middle of the discussion that continues on now from that on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, at the two dots, and there really shouldn't be two dots there, it's a little bit misleading. Maskip Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and Rav Acha bar Yaakov attacked the assumption over here that definitely the shtar was written the minyan shtarais, and that therefore the way to understand it would be to assume that the 6 years would be 6 years earlier. Who says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, b'cholal, that your assumption that whenever we count in a shtar, that it's really counting to Malchus Yavan, and therefore, since it's really counting to Malchus Yavan, you can easily explain away this shtar by saying it's counting to the earlier beginning of Malchus Yavan, which is a 6 year difference. I don't see how you know that the minion that we call the minion of shtaros is not counted sometimes, maybe to Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now, if you count back to Yetziat Mitzrayim and you leave out the thousands, which is very normal, you know, like we say, it's Tavshin Samach Gimel, we don't say it's Hey Tavshin Samach Gimel. So, assuming that they wrote a date in that contract, well, interestingly enough, if you work out the time that it takes from Yetziat Mitzrayim until the actual Churban, it comes out to 1,380 years, you see, exactly. So therefore, it might just as well have been counting from the Yetziat Mitzrayim, and you'd have exactly the same din as you would if you'd be counting from Malchus Yavan, which starts 380 years before the Korban. So, because, I mean, if you start, we know that it was 480 years, that it is the Farish and the Pasuk, that Shlomo HaMelech built the Bayis 480 years after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know that the Bayis stood for 410 years, which gives us the 990 years, and we know that we have another 70 years of Golut Babel, and then we have 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash. And if you add that all up, it happens to just to work out precisely to the 1,380 years, right? Now, it happens to be that the Malchus Yavan itself was, as we said, 380 years before the Churban, which would be the beginning of the second millennia, if you count from Yetziat Mitzrayim, which means that the minyan of Shtarot, if you leave out the millennia, the minyan of Shtarot is going to be precisely the same whether you count to Galut Yavan, I mean to Malchut Yavan, or whether you count to Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's just a 1,000 years difference, basically, you see, which works out perfectly. Because those numbers we know, I mean, those are universally accepted numbers, that it works out to 1,380 to, from the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim to the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So if Malchut Yavan begins 380 years before the Churban, so it works out that year one of Shtarot is year 1001 of Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's the same thing. So how do you know, you're taking for granted that when you write year 53 or 553 in a Shtar, that that could just as easily have been dated 559, because you could have started the 6 years earlier for Malchut Yavan. You're making an assumption. We're counting to Malchut Yavan in order to do that. I mean, you've already made one assumption. Your one assumption is that it's more reasonable to assume that this guy is dating things to some other date than that he wrote a Shtar Mu'uchar. Well, it's crazy somebody to write a Shtar Mu'uchar 6 years. It would be like if you found today a check that was written 6 years in the future, right? What is it supposed to mean? I mean, obviously, some kind of mistake over here. So that's what you're assuming. But you need to make two assumptions to do that. Your first assumption being that what we're talking about is the years to Malchut Yavan, because we're not talking about Malchut Yavan. How do you explain 6 years? What would be the significance of 6 years regarding Yetziat Mitzrayim? So I ask you, if I challenge you, says Rav Achavah Yaakov, to prove to me that necessarily the reference of a sofer in a contract is to Malchut Yavan at all. Therefore, I say, if that's the case, then he was Shaftali Alpha Kamal. Look, the guy dropped the first millennia, and he's just talking about the Pratim over here, which is the second millennia, which equals the equivalent of Malchut Yavan. And really, this is a Shtar Mu'uchar, because there is no six-year distinction that you could possibly make when it's Yat Mitzrayim. And said Reb Nachman, and Reb Nachman was the one who had said yesterday that he thinks that that's what happens, that this is a 6 year difference based on the assumption of early Malchut Yavan, that says Reb Nachman, because there's no such animal, my friend. Bargola ein monin ela malamalchei Yavan bilvad. During the time of the Shlita of the Goyim upon us, since the Churban, we do not count to any system of Malchut other than the Yevanim. And who savar the chiyuk on that? He, Rav Achavah Yaakov, said, okay, fine, arbitrarily, so he's pushing me off. Says, that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But in the end, he found out that it was right. Indeed, it says so in a braisa. Nofak dak v'yashkach. He went out, he was bedaktik, and he found the Tanya says in a braisa those exact words, that bagolayin monin elo l'malchei Yevanim b'chad.
Side note, from the nicest coins we've seen of Alexander the Great, were minted in Bava. So it's not the beginning, right? But they were using the Greek coins.
You mean before, in the 6 year period, you're saying? Or not necessarily? It's Alexander.
Later. You see that they were.
Omer Ravina, Masisa Namadeka, said Ravina, you know, the truth is, you don't have to go for a Brisa. If you thought carefully, you'd see that this is clear from a Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Be'achad b'nisan Rosh Hashanah limlachim v'lo legalim. So the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for kings, whatever that means, and first of the holidays. Now, we asked over there, v'amrina limlachim, when you say for kings, l'mai hilchita, what do you mean? And Rav Chisda v'shtarot. Rav Chisda said it means that when you write a shtar, then on the first of Nisan, it would become year two of a king that ascended to the throne in the previous year, whenever he ascended. And then the Gemara asks, for the fact that the Mishnah says, Ve'chad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanim l'shmitim, and the Gemara there explained what is the meaning of l'shanim, l'mayofata, and there Rav Papa said that it was l'shtarot, meaning that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, our Rosh Hashanah, starts the next year in a date. And the Gemara, of course, said, isn't this a contradiction? Tashi shtarot ahadadi. Is it Nisan or is it Tishrei? Umishanina, now the Gemara there answered, Kan the Malchei Yisrael, Kan the Malchei Obdei Kochavim. That if you're counting the Malchei Obdei Kochavim, so then you count on the first of Tishrei the next year. The Malchei Yisrael, you count then first of Nisan would be the next year. Now, our contracts, as is well known, are dated from Tishrei. Tishrei begins the next year in our shtarot, which means that obviously we are counting to the Malchei Goyim and not to the Malchei Yehudim of any kind. So now you're offering me the option, and now counting either to the Greeks, or you say maybe we're counting to Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's a separate system. But if we're counting to Yitziat Mitzrayim, you have to be out of your mind to count from Tishrei, because the whole point of Nisan is that it celebrates Yitziat Mitzrayim. That's impossible. To say we're going to count for Yitziat Mitzrayim and start on Tishrei. That's mamish absurd. So, Yitziat Mitzrayim Lamina. Obviously, we'd be counting from Nisan and not from Tishrei. Since we've chosen Tishrei to count from, it's the only option. There is no other system that we could be using. And then getting back now to the Mishnah, the various holidays include the Yom Ginusya Shel Malchihim. My Yom Ginusya, what exactly? Yom Ginusya Shel Malchihim. So what exactly is that? Amar Rav Yehuda, Yom Shema'amidim Bo Ovdei Kochavim Et Malkam. It is the day of the coronation of the new emperor. How could that be? Brisa lists both of those days separately. Yom Ginusya, Yom Shema Midim Bo Et Malkam. How could it be the same time? Lokasha Hadi De Hadivrei. One is the celebration that a ruling king makes if he's able to insert his son during his lifetime as sovereign. So then we make two separate holidays, when one on his own ascension, and the other one now to the fact that he was able to, and he makes a big holiday out of this every day, like Saddam Hussein, or a great leader, you know. So they make now the special day of the son's greatness. It says the Gemara, how could that be? Umim mukmin malka bar malka? Do they in fact have such a thing as having a son who would become an emperor in the lifetime of his father, or even after his father's death? Well, Tani Rav Yosef, doesn't Rav Yosef explain the parsha about Edom in Ovadia, who is the Novita Edom? Hine katan netaticha bagoyim. I have made you small amongst the nations. This means Shein Moshivim Melech Ben Melech, that they have this insane business called democracy in which they don't have a ruling family. Bozui ata ma'od, and you are very low. That means she'en lehem lo chtav lo lashon. They don't have their own language and their own lettering system. They steal their language from elsewhere, so that what passes as the international Roman language is actually a polyglot of all types of different languages and so on. So if one of the things that makes them so small is they don't have a melech ben melech, how could the Yom Ginusya refer to the separate holiday of Yom Shema Midim Bo Melech, one being the father and the other one being the son? By the way, it's a very interesting Tosfos who says, what do you mean Edom? Any nation that comes after the Shivim Umayt that are listed in the Parshas Noach would also have to be, you could say exactly the same thing on. Since we're saying there's only 70 primal languages, so that means that all languages, there's thousands of languages, I mean, all of those languages are in some sense etymologically driven by their derivation from earlier languages. You could say about Yishmael, you could say exactly the same thing. I mean, what are we saying? Edom is different than anything else. You could say the same thing about B'nai Keturah. We got Ammon, Moab, and all of these nations. You could say he refers to nations that are very small.
Is that
the fact that
there were no
Roman
Well,
the Gemara is going to talk about that later. We're going to get back to it. So Tosis, there's a number of approaches that Tosis has. One is that when it says over here, they don't have a language, it doesn't mean, most don't have a language. But nobody today has a pure language that's from the Shiva Mumais. Even the Umas that were there, and the Shiva Mumas don't have a pure language anymore. Their language is barely, they need to take special training to be able to read their own ancient languages. So, but the idea over here is referring to, and he brings Uriah, interestingly enough, from the Sefer Megillah, from Purim, in which the Havati Labava Min V'Nefet Shem V'She'er is a reference to the language of Babel. And he points out to us, what do we mean language? But I mean, people speak it today. I mean, there's still plenty of people that are speaking Aramaic. I mean, so how can you say that I wiped it out? So therefore, he says, what is the reference over here is to the special classy language that was used only by the ruling elite, in which only they would understand, similar to Chochmat Yevanit, that was a special language you needed special training in. They don't have that on their own. That's the meaning of their special, their special chtab. Now, another pshat that he says is that the languages may actually have been inherited. Because if some of these Umayyads were wiped out earlier, like in some of the early events at the Medrash lists, and that have just recently been discovered in archaeology of massive flooding in areas, we know where the Black Sea broke through, so that entire areas were flooded suddenly, and nations were destroyed. So then Tosfos says the other nations may have inherited in toto the language that was there, and that is a primal language. But Edom doesn't have a primal language at all. So the Romans don't have mamish or primal language.
So the Greeks have it, so you can read Ammon, Moab, and all these things. It's like not distinguishable.
Okay, so that's what he's saying. Maybe they took over those earlier languages. So they have a primal top. Anyway, it's certainly a very, very interesting side point here. Says the Gemara, so now we can't say that it means Mal ben Melech, right? So what are we going to say? What's the difference between the Yom Genusia and the Yom Shema Midimbo? Answers the Gemara, Elamai Yom Genusia Yom Aveda. Yom Genusia must refer to the birthday. Birthday, but the price of lists separately. Yom Genusia and Yom Aveda. So obviously Yom Genusia is not the birthday. No, Lokasha, Hadidei, Hadibrei. One is his birthday, and one is his son's birthday. Yeah, fine, a birthday the father can make as a holiday. It doesn't mean that he can appoint him as a leader. But wait a minute. You see, the Braisa lists all of those options. Because it says, Yom Genusia Shalo, Yom Genusia Shal Beno. Yom Haleida Shalo, Yom Haleida Shal Beno. So obviously, we can't distinguish between the Yom Genusia Shalo and the Yom Shema Amidim Bo Malach to say that one refers to the birthday of the son. Go back to our original explanation. Now, we had a problem that it lists separately Yom Shema Midim Bo Melech and Yom Genusia. I stick with my original answer. One refers to his own ascension to the throne and the other is his son's. Now you'll ask what you ask, that there's no such thing as a ruling family which is gives you an heir to the throne. That is true. But that doesn't mean that you can't have a case in which a ruling sovereign had enough strength and power to get the Senate to vote to appoint his son to be the next Caesar. So that is possible. There are cases in which, through political machinations, you could have a Melech ben Melech. It wouldn't be Yerusha. It's not that. It would just work out that way. Bush the father, Bush the son. I mean, that doesn't mean.
Bush the second.
That's right. it doesn't mean that you have the literal George the second. Exactly. And we know of a case like that. Kigon, Asvirus bar Antoninus. We know that Antoninus' son Asvirus became Caesar. He was Malach. And we even know actually the story behind that. Amale Ravina the Rebbe. Antoninus the Rebbe. Antoninus, who was Rebbe's friend, as we'll see later on, and told Rebbe, I have two very important things that I would like to achieve, this king. One is, Be'ina di'imloch asvirus b'ri tachutit. I would like to get Asvirus in, to the in line, to become the next Caesar. And I also would like to tatavik Tveria Kalani. I want to protect you guys. And to make Tveria, where Rebbe's Beis HaMedrash, and Rebbe Meir, and all of the Talmid HaKhachomim, at that point, I want it to be an official colony of Rome so that it would not have to pay tribute. And then you would all be potter permanently from all of these head taxes and so on. And my problem is that I can get one passed. I can't get them both passed. And I'm in a corner here. Do you have any suggestions? So I say Gavra. Rebbe got a guy and set him on top of his friend, the Harkele Achavret. And then he had the guy on top hold a pigeon. And he told the guy on the bottom, Amar la'ila, tell the guy on top, will you? To mifrach miyade yona, to let the pigeon go. And when Antoninus heard what Rebbe did, was that Rebbe was very frightened of spies and a chance that it would be found out that they had a relationship, and all their communication of these type of things was done with these type of strange remuzin that only the person who was looking for would understand. So he understood the Yonah, the Remus, the Klal Yisrael, the guy on top of a guy, because it means secondary in power. So he says, Shema min Arfi Karmalei, what he's saying is, At boy minayodi Asvirius brigim loch tchuti. You get Asvirius indeed into power. Then Asvirius will be on top. Then you tell, now, the Amalei, Asvirius, the topic's right, Kalania, you tell Asvirius, he takes care of it. It doesn't have to be done right now. You want to assure the future. Another Maisa, where it's not just cute to find the way in which they were moronic things to each other. He got the message to Rebbe that he's having some difficult problems in Rome, in with factions that were against him. So I'm going to sarin lechashuvi rumoyim, ma'ayalei lagina. And so Rebbe took him out to a garden. Every day he would go out and would pull out a radish from a row. Omar Shmaimin Ozikomali, apparently what he's saying is, Atkto Chat Chad Minayu, take them out gradually. The Lotus Karabu Bakulu. Now, don't attempt to attack the factions, only attack individuals. You get rid of one guy, the other people get afraid they'll pretend to be on your side. If you attack all of them together, then they're going to get the idea that it's worthwhile for them to team up against you, which you don't want.
Divide and conquer.
Huh?
Divide and conquer.
Right. V'leimalei meimar v'hadei. Well, I asked him, why couldn't he tell him? Omar, because he was afraid. Shamech Hashiva Gwimim Mitzara Lei was afraid that he would get into trouble with factions in Rome. V'leimalei v'lachash. I asked him, what can he tell to them privately? Mishum dechtiv ki of ha-shabayim yolichat ha-kol. Once you say something, there's always ways in which things get out. You have to be able to deny having said it. Now, Havilei Ahu Barta v'shma Gira. He, Antoninus, had a daughter by the name of Gira. Ka'avde Yisura. Now, Gira apparently had been caught in a compromising situation with a man, and this was becoming a political scandal. And Shodar Lei Gar Gira. So now, he, Antoninus, sent Rebbe a gift of a Gar Gira, which is a type of plant, which Rebbe understood immediately to mean Gargira, the Lashon of the Targum of Noef is Gaira. Noefet is Gargira. So he understood that Gira Gigerata, in other words, that yes, it's true that actually she had been Minaefet and I am caught in a difficult situation. So Shadale, he sent back to Antoninus some Kuzbarta. Now Kuzbarta, of course, can be read as two words. Kos Barta, get rid of your daughter. In other words, cut your ties with her and cut her out so that it doesn't reflect on you. That's how Rashi learns that. Tosis says it doesn't make sense that that's what he would have told him. I mean, what, to kill his daughter? I mean, and then Shadale Karti, he sends him back Karti, which of course also has a double meaning of, then I will be wiped out. karati, I'd be wiping out my own children. And so it's unlikely that that's what Rebbe would have sent him. I mean, Rebbe's not an idiot. Obviously, he's going to send him that karati. But that Antoninus misunderstood. He meant kus barata means kase barata, cover up for your daughter. And he thought it meant shecht your daughter, kus barata. So Rebbe sent him back chasa. No, I'm talking about lettuce, honey. Meaning, I'm saying, no, be Meraklim on her, see to it that everything is okay, chasa. Or Rashi says, okay, if that's the case, chasa, which doesn't, you know, it doesn't really make sense. So that's his point, chasa. Shalach lechasa. Now, Kol Yuma, every day, Antoninus would smuggle money to Rebbe. And Havishadah Leit Dahava Priestly would send him gold, that was shredded gold, Bamatrata, inside of these leather holders that were usually used for shipping grain, and he would put chiti apumai, would put grain on top, so that if it was opened by mechas, they would see grain in it. Amar lehu, amtuya chiti l'Rebbe, and he would ship. He would say, ship off this to Rebbe, these chiti. Amar le Rebbe, and Rebbe, huh?
Whole time, Antoninus was in Rome, and Rebbe wasn't there to trust
him. No, Antoninus also, remember that the Roman, the colony of Tiberia itself actually was named Tiberian because of it. So he was also near, as we'll see, he was near Rebbe many times. And sometimes yes, sometimes not, obviously. But he would send to him this, and Rebbe said to him, I have plenty of money of my own. I don't need your money. So he said to Rebbe, Lahavi l'man debatrach, I'm not sending this to you. I'm sending this to your descendants, the Ahavi Lebatroi, that are going to have to pay tribute to my descendants. And I know I don't trust these Romans for nothing. So what I want you to have is my money to pay your taxes, which is going to be stolen from you anyway, from the Romans. Let this be held in reserve for the Jewish people, basically. So the Das of Batrach, Das of Inayu Nefokalayu. The people that come from my country should be paid. They should use this money for their expenses to take care of the illegal tribute demands of the Romans. At times that Antoninus was near Rebbe, his palace was connected to Rebbe's personal home by an underground passageway. And Kol Yuma Hayam Avimaisi Trei Avde. Now every day he would take along two servants to go with him through this passageway. Chad katle above the base. Rebbe would murder one when he got there. The chad katle above the base, he'd murder the other one when he got back home in order that nobody should squeal on him. And this was the way in which we would, you know, till today we know that, we know how Saddam protects his places where weapons are hidden. And this is to get rid of the people that know anything about it. And Tosus asks, I understand. I mean, I thought this guy was a frum guy, and Shvichas Damim is Otzer. I mean, even for a Goy, obviously, it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs. How could he possibly have done this? And so, one interesting job that Tosus says is that, well, because once he took them there, they have a din of rotzim because they're dangerous. But the other choice is that he took criminals that were chayav misa. So he took minim or malshinim or mosrim and so on. And this is the way he took care of them. I mean, might as well get some use out of you before you... So he appointed them as bodyguards and would have them have their throats slit. Anyway, now, he had told Rebbe, Amar Lebi'ida, the Atina, when I come to visit you, you must be very careful. Lo nishtach gavar kamar. I don't want any man there with you. Yom Echad, one day he comes in and there's Reb Chanina Bar Chama, who's sitting there, to have a yasid. Amar says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Lo amina lecha be'ina da'atidam lo nishkach gavar kamach. Then I tell you, I don't want any human being there. Amar lechim ba'inish, this man's not human. I thought you said only you don't want any humans there. If I have somebody here, it's obviously not human. Amar le, so he tells Reb Chanina bar Chama, do me a favor, please. Lema lohu ha'avet gane abav de kain. V'leisi, could you please, I know that guy that brought me here, he's fast asleep at the door. Do me a favor and ask him to come in. Also, Reb Chanina bar Chama. So Reb Chanina goes out to call the guy. Ashkad Avi Katil. He finds he's been murdered. Omar says, oh my God, what do I do now? Hechi Avit. Go in and say he was murdered. The rule is, you don't go back to say something awful to someone. Hashav keis, I just not come back. Eizel, I go back to Beis Hamedrash. Come mizalzelina b'malchuta. I mean, that's not very polite. The king tells you to do something and you don't come back. Boy, Rashmi like the Arthur. So he's Bechayim Mason, he's Mispala for him. And he's shattering, he sends him in. So Antonina said, okay, nice demonstration, but look, Yadana Vizuti the East Bechu Mechayim. I know your smallest Talmidim can do this kind of stuff. Nonetheless, when I say I don't want anybody, I don't want anybody, okay? If he works on DNA, that's not what I want. He may not be human. He's human enough for me. So keep him out. He would go to be Mishamish Rebbe every day. Machale would bring him food. Mashkele bring him drink. Antoninus. The Aviboy Rebbe Lamesek Lepuria, when Rebbe wanted to get up on his couch, Avigochin Kamipuria, he would lie down in front of the couch and ask him, please step on me to get onto the couch. And Rebbe refused, feeling that it was a zilzul in the malchus. So Antonina said, I should be the cushion that you lie on in Olam Haba. Antonina said, will you be able to bring me in to Olam Haba? It's very interesting that you show me the lesson is, will you feed me livyasin? Can you get me a piece of livyasin? And he told him, yes. So this brings us to Yerushalmi, we've got another issue. And Antoninus told Rebbe, how do you think you can do that if I'm not even allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach? So how could you give me the Livyasin? It's a Kal V'Chaymer. So Rebbe said, it's in Gerat HaKosev, that Kol Orel or Yoichal Boi. It doesn't say that by the Livyasin. Lamaisa, because of that, Antoninus was Nemo. Because he felt that the Orla was the thing that might stand in the way of it. I didn't want it to didn't want anything to interfere. So, but anyway, he says, here the Shiloh was, will I have a chalik at home? How?
Might be on the
show just to be able to live yesterday together. That's right. It's interesting. Omar Le'in, I will indeed. Omar Le'in, so Antonina said to him, doesn't it say, lo yiyet sarid l'beis Esav? That there'll be nothing left to the house of Esav. Said Rebbe, the house of Esav doesn't mean the children of Esav. It means Bo'ose Ma'ase Esav. It means people that support the approach of Esav. Tanya Nami Hochi, and the bride said also says, Lo Yesarid Lebeit Esav, Yopalakol Tav, Lebeit Esav, is Dafke Bo'ose Ma'ase Esav. And that's exactly what Rebbe was referring to. Omar Levak Siv, doesn't it say, Shama Edom, when it's describing hell? So it says, there is Edom. Malcheha v'chol nisiyeha, all of the presidents, the kings of Edom. So, I mean, that seems to include me. Or Marley, notice it doesn't say kol malcheha. It says malcheha, it doesn't say kol malcheha, it says kol nisiyeha, yes. Kol nisiyeha means all of the nisiyim, but not all of the sarim. And the Brisa indeed points out that this refers to two specific people. Ta'anin amiyachi, why does the pasuk say malcheha v'lo kol malcheha? Kol nisiyeh v'lo kol tzareha. The reference is like this. Malcheha v'lo kol malcheha prat la Antoninus ben Asvirius. The Pasuk is specifically excluding Antoninus, who does not burn in Gehenna, but instead has a chelek in Olam Haba.
Is that Caesar?
No, it's his father's name. Kol nisiyeh v'lo kol tzareha. That's prat l'ktia bar shalom. This is an exclusion of a particular Roman senator whose name was Ketia Bar Shalom. And what was that story? Ketia Bar Shalom my Havi. The Maisa was like this. Ahu Kisar Davisan and Yudai was an extremely anti-Semitic Caesar. Amarlo la Chashiv de Malchusa, and he called together the Chashiv of the Senate, and he said, look, the bottom line is Bishala lo Nima Baraglo. Somebody's got a corn on his foot. I mean, what do you say we do? You leave it there and you suffer, or do you get rid of it? Amrullah, they said, well, of course, get rid of it. Amarlu, Ketia Bardan, it was clear what they were referring to. Now, you notice everybody's talking about Ketia over here. So, Ketia Bar Shalom says, look, it's not going to happen. There's no way that you could do it. Not all of them. Lekulo. The fifty kiar baruchot hashamayim pirasti etchem. That God says, I spread you out like the four winds of the sky. The chada over here refers to a multiple argument. In other words, first of all, there's the pashta meaning of the pasuk, which is all over the world. Hey, every single Jew you're going to get rid of. What do you mean you're going to get rid of them? You're not going to get rid of them. And the second argument is, what do you think this pasuk means? It means only, literally, my karma, ilim devadar tun be'ar baruchot. Does it mean that they were scattered to the four directions? So then, why do you say ki'ar baruchot hashamayim? Why does it say like the four winds? Why doesn't it say le'ar baruchot? I scattered you tall four. How do we say that today? The four corners of the earth, right? So why doesn't it say to the four corners of the earth? Ela yeshem yevshar lo'olam. What it means is ki'ar ba. You are like the four winds, just like yevshar lo'olam b'lo ruchot. The earth could not survive without the winds and the circulation, the atmosphere. Kach yev shalom olam below Yisrael. So it's impossible for the world to survive without Yisrael. Besides which, v'yot karulacha malchut haketia. They will call you the genocidal nation that wipes out the people that they don't like. It's bad for public relations. Amalei, so that Caesar said, well, you know, you make a very good point. Unfortunately for you, of course you know that people who make good points in front of Caesar, they don't have happy endings. But we have a very special house in which we'll store you. Basically the grave. When the secret police came to drag him off, one of the leading society ladies in Rome shouted out to him, what a shame for a boat to be shipping off without being able to cover the mechas, which he understood to be a reference to not ever having been Nisgayer and not having a bris mila, and here he's sticking up for the Jews. And so nafal al resha du urlate, and here's the final ketia kate, he cut off his own orla. Omar, and he said, Yahavit Mirse, I paid the taxes. Chalafit Vavarit, and now I will pass. Kiko Shodale, as they were throwing him in, Omar, he shouted out, Kol Nichsai le Rabbi Akiva v'chaveirav. All my possessions go to Rabbi Akiva and to his friends. And Yotze Rabbi Akiva v'darash, Rabbi Akiva said, well, you know what that means. It says, V'haita la'aron levanav. And we darsh, and that means half to Aaron and half to Banav. So it's Rabbi Akiva v'chavirav means half to Rabbi Akiva and half to everybody else. Yatzta batko v'amra. So batko came out at that point and said, Kitiya bar shalom mizuman mechaye olam haba. And when Rabbi heard this, bocha Rabbi v'amar, yesh kono olamo b'sha'a achat. There's people that can get their olam haba in one instant. People waste their whole lives getting the same chelik they could have gotten in one. Now, by the way, those who are medayik, that we find that the Basco only came out after the drush of Rabbi Akiva. That's why didn't right away when he said chalafit v'avaris? Why didn't right away the Basco come out? It's mashma that it was the schus of the money that is given to Rabbi Akiva that was his sukkos in Olam Haba. Not just, in other words, the fact that in the end is all of the achievement of his life was dedicated to Rabbi Akiva, that's the reason that he got that chevik in Olam Haba. And indeed, there's a beautiful, Rabbi cried over the idea that it's possible to be Tena in one instant. People live their whole lives doing nothing. And the remes to that idea is, if you take a look at the first letter, the Rosh Tevas of Yesh Kono Lama Bevas Achas, it spells Akiva. Actually, there's another remes in Mitzvayetan, makes this in Yevamos. When he's talking about Rabbi Akiva, he points out that Rabbi Akiva, not to negate this subject, it's not Rabbi Akiva, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva 375 times in Shas. And he added up all the times in Shas, which is Yesh Kono Olamo Bisha, which is 375 times. Achas of Rabbi Akiva, it comes out to be. That's his question, that he supported that that Torah. That's what he added up. And Antoninus, now this was one mice, this was Antoninus was Mishamish Rebbe. There was a similar story in later years of a goy whose name was Adar Khan, and he was Mishamish Rav. In the same way, when Antoninus died, Rebbe said, Nitparda Chavila. That is the end of the package. Our love is gone. In other words, and of course we're referring back here, as we'll see, we go all the way back to the Shnei Goyim B'Vitnes, if you recall, Rashi even brings this in the Chumash. That's a reference to Rebbe and Antoninus. So again, we're analyzing the very complex interrelationship between Yaakov and Esav here, and all of this story is part of that, as we've seen from the very beginning of the Masechta, the Knesset of Rome, the time that everything is being done, Bishul Yisrael. So here too, there was a Chavilah that was there. Shnei Goyim means that we are together. Laomi Amat is a different element, but the Shnei Goyim B'Vitneich is also true. So there's something very close between Yisroel and Esav, and that's why he said the Chavilah now is broken. And the same thing happened when Adar Khan died. Amar Rav, Rav said, he also said at his hesped, Nitvarda Chavilah. By the way, apparently there are those who say that apparently the mocker of the minhag, which I'm sure you've seen at the Chevra Kedisha, Yerushalayim Chevra Kedisha, but many Chevra Kedishas have this minhag of Bikabola, is that you say to the mace, we pater you from membership in any organization of which you were a member. Never heard that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very common. And it seems to be based on this Gemara, that in this Farda Chavilah, the logic is that Antoninus had asked Rebbe to, will he bring him into Olam Haba? And he wanted his Olam Haba to be shayach, that he should be the couch that Rebbe sits on, so to speak, Alavai, he says, right? And we know the entire meeting of Yaakov and Esav was, according to the Medrash, to make sure that Esav wouldn't share Yaakov's chelek in Olam Haba. Had Antoninus come into Olam Haba as being sponsored by Rebbe, so to speak, which is what Rebbe was committed to over here, he said, yes, I will get you into Olam Haba. Then it would have been a commitment of Rebbe to maintain a relationship with Antoninus in Olam Haba. And that would have meant that Rebbe's own chelek in Olam Haba would have always been limited to that which Antoninus could have had some connection to. Therefore, they wanted to be mifareid the chavilah, so that as long as a person is linked to other things, that linkage can be very limiting to him. So before he's buried, essentially, you say about everybody, nitpada chavilah. In other words, we socially pater you from any commitments that you have in order that you shouldn't be linked to anything in Olam Haba. And that's some trace of this Gemara, which is fascinating. Because a different economy, and Rashi just in Sparta Chavilah, just talking about his own love and his own pain, but it comes out now to be linked to the whole story of the Olam Haba. Yes, I'll get you in, I will. You asked, you should be my couch. That I didn't say. I thought I'd use my influence. But I didn't tell you that you're going to be sitting with me in the same yeshiva. Oh, he brings them?
Mm-hmm.
From who does he bring it?
Aben Yaakov, Beitz Yosef.
Really? Okay, nice.
Iyum
Yaakov. Okay, good. Okay. Mitzuyan. Beautiful Gemara. Mm-hmm.